Okay, welcome to day 5 of BitreichCon. As you can already see on the slides, speak up. What's next? Yeah, I'm already speaking. Athos is nagging me. Okay, welcome to the first talk of today, which is the state of Geomity. As I already said, we will have a technical day where we will talk about C and source code. I will present as much as I can so you people get excited in your source code porn. The last version of Geomity was 0.69. You can already guess why I took this number. But this was in September of 2022. And since then, so much has changed that I want to talk about it and present it to you. Maybe you're interested in it. So first, the common log changelog. We fixed memory leaks, there were error codes fixed, we fixed the example scripts to represent what we're doing now. There is now some scientific evidence about snowmen being used in the repository. Please see that if you want to have a scientific discussion about snowmen and why we are using them for helping us in Geomity. But I won't talk about this today. Maybe we will once have a big talk or symposium about that at BitreichCon. Then we fixed, of course, typos in the man page. There will always be typos, but thank you for everyone sending in patches to fix this. Then Geomity is easier to compile on BSD system. Thank you for, especially to Evil Bob or SDK, people who built this on different BSD systems like FreeBSD, OpenBSD. Then we fixed TLS. They work correctly. Now everybody will talk about one bug which is still reported by Evil Bob, but TLS works. All the logic is working on Linux, it works on my test system, OpenBSD. There's no lingering connections anymore because there was a problem when TLS closed. Then it was waiting indefinitely and it didn't close. But now this is fixed. IP version 6 now works correctly. There was some lingering problem there too, and code style fixes, of course. Then we now have the common BitReich telemetry support. This is needed because everyone's doing telemetry in this business and we don't want to lag behind. It's that simple. Because if we lag behind, of course, our competitors will easily get us away from this gopher market. So it's that easy. You just printf telemetry, Geomity installed, and it will return you a very nice message, tell you all the GDPR data legal stuff, that nothing is locked. You can of course trust us, we are not Google. Yes, just trust us. Damn it, trust me! And then, of course you can use a telemetry API for your own application, just replace Geomity with whatever you install. Next is Bob support. If people ever drove through Netherlands, then you have seen this B.O.B. Sign. And of course our evil Bob is living there. That's why don't drink and code. Evil Bob, please. You can see more information about this campaign at Bob BE. It's very important. Regarding the last thing Athos is saying, when was the last time a German did anything bad with personal information? Yesterday. Back to Bob. We want to create awareness of people writing code while being drunken. See PHP or Ruby on Rails for how to not do it. You will end up in a life of misery where you cannot escape and need to keep going until your pension with some ugly language reinventing what has been done before. No one will remember you since you write shit code and the next hype kid replace your idea with their own hype, rewriting what you already did. Yeah, that's the truth. If you do drunk coding, you will end up in this misery and no one will remember you. So this is the code. Look, it's pretty easy. It's very nice. Arc code, AWK. See, we just search for Bob and there we have this Geomity, but I will come to examples. This is complex, but you will easily see this. So why did we do Bob? This is the explanation. Too many people used in a drunken. P PHP technologies, all of this has been invented, but we want to show you how to write and not to write drunken code and simplify things. Because what we did is actually we did PHP escape in markup languages. So easy, PHP could do it too, but you know how big PHP is already. And so we should use Gopher Space only when you're sober. Please do that. And do not accidentally ruin someone's life. Oh, there's music in the background. Okay, I'm slowing down the music. Now it should be gone. Okay, it was nice music. Do not accidentally ruin someone's life with a strange hive idea created in drunken 2 a.m. at night. So this is an example script. So we do user bin eval bob. Then you have like geomidi. And then you just run some script. So now we go back to, you have this in your mind. We go back to the interpreter. This is it. So as you can see, we go over the first line and then we search for something where there's a geomidi in it. Then we actually there's some intermediate code that is created, as you can already see. We just create some stuff which is just executed. Because the way it is done is that we just interpreted the shell script and the shell script is then run. So just raw stuff is put inside of it. And you can do everything. And that's the reason why you have variables which can be used all over the whole file. So you have text and inside of it you have meta text. So we just turn it around from a shell script. Bob is always saying nice object oriented programming. Yes, you can say that it's object oriented. And of course, if you would, for example, I mean, you could use other kind of execution. You could even use PHP in Bob script. It's possible. So after the next topic, after this funny one, yeah, use the Bob programming language. I did the rework of all path handling because we had really bad bugs with all the absolute path stuff. It took me 24 hours in a long 6-hour hacking session at the Singapore Changi Airport. Now all the CGI environment variables are actually correct. I tested it multiple times in multiple ways because I came to this thing because everyone was reporting JRoot doesn't work. And this was the problem because of our beginning slash in all selectors. This is a special one because we translate this to Unix paths, so it's not that easy, but selectors can begin without it. But by doing that and implementing it, I added some special cases and more flexibility to geomidi, as you will see soon on the other slides. So now geroot works. Also, you can start geomidi in just slash and root. It will work. I don't know why you want to do that, but that's how geroot works. Requests can be done with no beginning slashes. And thanks Bob for help debugging this. So because he wrote a geomidi tests framework. Thank you very much. Just look at it, check it out. It's really simple. Really simple how he starts geomidi tests for the output. Just check it out. It's pure simplicity. Compared to other unit tests, whatever you have out there, like inline unit tests for functions and all of that. You don't need that if you have seen what Bob has done here. Yeah, but applause for you. Yes. Yes. So I had to rework the CGI call arguments. The reason is because we now have a traversal. So first of all, if some CGI script is executed, you first have to search. That's after the selector, you have tab, and then you have something that's the search request in the Gopher protocol. Then you have the arguments. That's if you call a script, then have a question mark, like in the web, a question mark, and all of that behind that is the arguments. So this is what geomidi does for you. It parses it for you, so you can easily handle that. Host and port. This is where the server is running, so you can use that in scripts to build menu items. Then traversal is something, and we will see that later too. But if there's some path is not found, That's like REST, like the REST interface. If some path is not found, then GeoMedi will go back in the tree and search for the first found path, and then search for an index.dcgi or index.cgi, and give it in traversal the path which it had to go back to find the script. So you can easily have like scripts. You put some index somewhere, index.cgi somewhere, and then whatever's below it, like I make like a REST API. You have like slash my bank. Then yeah, there you put an index.cgi, and then you have bank at account, and then at account will be sent to this index.cgi, and you can use whatever framework or logic from the web. Next is the REST handling, what I already said now. Let's see. All I take here is directly from the GeoMedi man page. So you know our documentation is in the man page. People who are asking stupid stuff, just go there. I wrote it down. And it was easier made. Like these examples here, REST path handling. So this is the same I told you now, but with examples. So there's a selector. Someone is requesting service add something. And this service exists. And there's an index.dcgi. But the REST doesn't exist. Add something, args value doesn't exist. So it gets no search request because there was no search, but args is set, host and port, then add something, and the full selector. As you see on the last line, selector. This is needed for some other addition we have, but now you know if you want to have some completely special handling in your script, now it's possible, it's there. So let's go to the CGI environment variables because they give you more advantages of such stuff. Like the gateway interface that's for fooling, for example, PHP. Yes, we can run PHP on GeoMedi directly, but you need to add some quirks. Then there's path info. This is the script, like here it would be index.dcgi. Then you have path translated. That's the complete path in the file system. Arguments, as you know, raw, selector, request. That's just how it overlaps. Then traversal, as I told you in the last one, this is needed for this special mode because in the web, this is done for you by the web server, but here and sent to you as an argument, but we do it in a more simplified way and a more flexible way. Then remote address, IP of the client. This is something you don't get from the normal arguments calling. Then the remote address, then quest method, of course, I don't set it because you only have get in Gopher. Then script name, the script which is executed, like path info, the server host name, port, server listen name. This is special for thing, and because we will need it for something. We will talk about that. So, but it's information maybe you need it for something, like because the server could listen on many IPs, and this is not the server IP, because the server IP is specified when it's run, but you don't know where the connection is coming from when you, for example, listen for all interfaces. Then the server protocols or something useful is there, server software. Go for search, that's the search, we have to add it because it's not in HTTP. Then the search request is the same because this is used in other GeoMedis. And HTTPS and Gopher SSZ if TLS is used. So, server listen name, you will get today the first exclusive peek into the Billion Gopher project by its author. Because we now have more Gopher servers online than there is on the web. Yes, we have. And it's all served by one daemon. So, let's start. We just peek into source code. Server listen address, that's what we already said, this is new. Because we require it. We will create some new subgopher, new gopher. Oh, it's random in bash is 0 to 65534, so it's 2 bytes. Okay, this is what you will need for the understanding further. So, can you spot the address pun? First, we check if it's inside of this, in this range. I can tell you that the first four parts of the IPv6 address are the standard for bit range, and the last ones, maybe you can guess what it means. Maybe you are able to decipher the hex codes to ASCII. So first, of course, if there's nothing requested, we will tell it to output some index, and there is some random subgopher and new gopher. And as you can see, we are just extending the IPv6, and this is why we have more gopher servers now online than the web, because we just have this whole subnet, and that's the complete IPv4 subnet, and the web isn't bigger than that. So next one, we are bigger than that, as you can see the prefix, then there's just this is if someone requests this, so this was the index. When we're not in the index, then this is done, and this will create a path, and it will cut out the stuff we already prepared in the prefix. But here's the magic. The magic is this: if it exists, then some random page is generated, and it will link you to a new generated subgopher and new gopher. So it will always have a random link to something else, and then we'll cut this. So there's nothing else in the script. So where's the magic? Maybe you can find it out. If you go through the script in your mind, then there's one loophole where the magic is happening, and maybe you can find the hidden secret. Maybe. But up to the next topic. We have a new HTTP compatibility, and this is because I reworked the selectors, and as you can see, the client is requesting GET with no beginning slash, and then Geomedy will check, oh, there's GET, and the check is that way if the first four chars, if there's a space in the selector, because this is something we do not allow in Geomedy. It's about a selector after GET, and there should be a tab, and if there's a space inside, we know this can't be or is no valid selector for Geomedy. And then it will search for GET, the script, and it will run it in a special way because we don't have the other stuff, and it will give you the raw selector. As you can see, this is the HTTP request. And this is why we need this, because now we don't. I will go back to the other example. As you can see here, our selector begins with slash something. But if you go back to the GET, this is completely different. This can't be translated. And this allows us to emulate HTTP. Please go to the Bjarke and Hackathons, because there you will see what we do with that. So, another thing, all GGI scripts now support full bidirectional I/O. So this means if your script is executed in TLS or non-TLS mode, see the nice code I did there, and this is something Evil Bob is debugging now, you have full control over STDIN, and there's a socket running for that. And this means that, this is MPV, listen. That you can output as long as you want, and you can read in as long as you want. And this is what we use in these scripts, in these GET, PUT, and SOURCE scripts, that we read in HTTP headers. So we know this is HTTP, and then we read in HTTP headers. And I'm using this for Icecast, for example, Icecast authentication, which is already done. I do, there's also an example of basic HTTP authentication, but what's missing is then the HTTP chunked handling. So if we get this to be done, this is just a simple pipe handler, we have nearly everything of HTTP done. And we can implement even more, but we'll come to that, right? So there's a bright future coming to us, because we can do HTTP over Gopher now. A new release will be version 0.96. Yes, we're getting close to version 1.0. But there's this bug where Evil Bob is working on, because it looks like GMIDI is too fast, or OpenBSD is too fast, because we now have this TLS thread which translates between scripts, which because the script only writes raw stuff into this TLS, and this will be encrypted in TLS, and this process has an input and output socket, and somehow this is closing before something is written, and we have to debug this, why this is happening. But because on my test environment in OpenBSD it didn't happen. Evil Bob was saying sometimes happens, sometimes this, so we have to find the reason and maybe some locking or some check. So people, do you have questions? Because I put out everything I did with GeoMidi. It was much work, really much work. Oh, I forgot something.
Breaking news! GeoMidi Gopher Server Daemon has been released. The market leader Gopher Server software has yet added more features. The newest features include REST mode, TLS support, and much more. You can download the newest release at this link. Have fun!
Yes, GeoMidi release. Yes. Okay. Let's see. No questions? Congratulations. Yes, thank you.
Okay. Let's see. No